morning to each of you and bring you greetings in the lovely name of Jesus. It's because of him that we're gathered here this morning to worship him. Well, it's been a while since I stood up front here and preached here in this place. So I look back, I think it was last weekend in May that I preached here. So y'all had a nice break. But those breaks are over for just a bit, and that's okay. So thank you for your prayers for today and for the message here today. You can turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. I'd like to bring a message from this chapter. And the reason my mind is going in this direction is because of maybe two or so weeks back, I was working on a job, and an older gentleman was there doing some trim work, and he had a radio playing with him as he went about the house and was quiet. I didn't think much about it till I sat down for lunch, and it was quiet, and I heard a song playing, and it perked my ears up, caught my attention. It was a song that was singing about perfect love. And I thought, well, that's interesting. And so I started to listen to see what this song was about. Well, I mean, I should be able to sing a song to you about perfect love this morning, right? But that song wouldn't be fit to sing here. And I concluded that the author of that song, and likely the person singing the song, what they were singing about really wasn't love. It was what Satan calls love this morning. It's what the world calls love. Doing things that feel so good that it just can't be wrong. And of course, well, my mind got thinking, well, I know the Bible talks about perfect love, and so that's why we're here in 1 John chapter 4. I would like to talk to us, preach to you this morning about perfect love. Not as the world sees it, but as God sees it. And hopefully we can be inspired and encouraged in this thought of perfect love. Perfect love casteth out fear is the title of the message this morning. 1 John chapter 4, and we're just going to break in at verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And so in these verses, we have the idea of perfect love, or love that's made perfect. And in order for love to be perfect, it needs to be made perfect. Our love made perfect. Perfect love casteth out fear. And so we have in these two verses, love mentioned three times. One, perfect love, is an adjective describing love. The other two are in verb form, made perfect. Made perfect in love. There's two other places that John talks about love being perfected in this letter. Flip back to chapter 2 and verse 5. He says there, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. And so we have in this verse the love of God being perfected, and it's connected to what? It's connected to knowing and keeping his word. Now flip back to chapter 4 and verse 12. He says, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. And there we have God's love being perfected by us loving one another. And so the way John writes in these verses, it seems that he's talking about a perfect love that you and I should have. He seems to indicate it's something that We should be experiencing it, something that's within our reach. It's attainable. It's this perfect love that gives us assurance or boldness in the day of judgment in verse 17. So I'd just like to ask two simple questions this morning about this. The first one is, what is perfect love? What is it? And what do we gain by it? I mean, just step back and think a little bit, like perfect love. Like, doesn't that just sound really nice? Like, that sounds desirable, like you want to have that, right? Perfect love. That sounds like a nice thing to have. That's something that I want to have, perfect love. Well, jump back to verse 5 of chapter 2. And he says, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected." And so we see that perfect love is the love of God. Chapter 4, verse 12 says that if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. This is God's love. This is the love of God. The interesting thing is that we can talk about the love of God and mean different things by it. And so back in verse 5 again, John is speaking of the love of God. What love of God is he speaking about this morning? Is he speaking about my love for God? That would be talking about love of God. Is that what he's talking about? Or does he mean God's love for me? That also would be talking about the love of God. God loves me. Is that what John means when he says the love of God? Or we could talk about the love that God gives to us through his Spirit. It's Christ-like in its nature, comes from God, pours out of our lives into other people. And that's also God's love as well. That is also the love of God. And so every one of those things fit the description of the love of God. So what love is John talking about in this letter? Which one does he mean? God's love for me? My love for God? Or the love that flows out of me to other people? So you look up the Greek words, and it doesn't say. It doesn't tell us what he means. So we'll have to try to figure it out in the context of these verses to figure out what John means when he writes about perfect love and love made perfect. And so right off, you can come to the conclusion, well, perfect love, is your love, is my love for God ever perfect? And we say, no. Is the love that comes out of my life that affects other people, does that ever reach perfection? And we say, no, that doesn't ever reach perfection. And so we can easily say, well, it must be God's love. God's love is the love that's fully perfect. It doesn't ever need to be perfected, right? That must be what John means. But the interesting thing is that perfect love is only found once in verse 17 as an adjective describing this love. Herein is our love made perfect. The other four places in chapter 2, verse 5, and verse 12, and 17, and 18 of chapter 4, it's an action verb of made perfect, perfected. And so we think, well, this love is a love that's being perfected this morning. Is God's love in a process of being perfected? And we say, well, no, it's not. God's love is already perfected. It's perfect. God's love does not need to be perfected. So when you hear the word perfect, when I hear the word perfect or perfected, like, what subconsciously comes to our mind? Like, what are we thinking about when we hear those words? Perfect, perfected, what is it that we're thinking about? You have some adjectives to describe what you think about when you think of perfect or perfected. All right, without blemish. Good. No defects. It's 100. Can't get any better. Can't be improved upon. Difficult piece of crown that's mitered together in my world, and you look at that and you said, that's a perfect miter. Can't get any tighter than that. That is perfect. We think about perfect like that. It's without blemish. There's no fault. There's no flaw. It's just perfect. And that's what I think of when I hear the word perfect, but that's not what this word means. So that is the thing that I found very interesting. So since we're in the Epistle of John, turn back to the Gospel of John, because this same word that's translated perfect in the Epistle of John is translated differently elsewhere. So turn back to John chapter 4. I'd like to show you just two places where this word is translated differently than perfect. Same Greek word. But in John chapter 4 and verse 34, Jesus is talking and he says that my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish. Right there's that word that's translated perfect in 3 John. It's to finish. To finish his work. All right? Flip over to chapter 5 and verse 36. Jesus again is talking about his works, and he says, but I have greater witness than that of John for the works which the Father hath given me to finish. There it is again, the same word. In other translations, it's translated accomplished. And so when you look up the word perfect that's used in 3 John, it means to accomplish, to complete. Jesus wasn't saying that the work that he was doing had defects in it, which needed to be corrected so that his work no longer had blemishes. No, Jesus said, I'm going to complete my work. I'm going to bring my work to its final goal. I'm going to fill it up. And so that's the idea of this word perfect or perfected or made perfect. It's to accomplish. It's to make full. It's to add what is yet lacking in order to render the thing full. Filling it up to the right measure. It's full. It's accomplished. And so this word has nothing to do with problems or flaws or defects or blemishes or anything like that. It doesn't have anything to do with that. That's not what this means at all. It simply means to bring it to completion, to accomplish it. And so John is saying in 1 John chapter 2, he says that, in verse 5, he says, but whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected, or it brings it to a completion, it brings it to its final goal, it accomplishes something. It's adding what is lacking yet to love in order to bring it to completion, to bring love to its final goal. Also in verse 5, he says, in him, who is that? In him verily is the love of God perfected. Well, it's in those days, it was the people he was writing to us. It's us this morning. He's talking about the children of God. He says, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Jump over to verse 12. And he says, and his love is perfected in us. And in verse 17, he says, herein is our love made perfect. And so John is talking about something that's happening to us this morning. It's something that's happening inside of us. This is what he's talking about. He's talking about the love of God being perfected within us. The love of God reaching its final goal within us. It's accomplishing its work within us. And John says that we can have this perfect love. And so this morning, how do we describe this love this morning? Is it God's love to us? Is it our love for God? Or is it the love that pours out of our lives to other people? Which love is it? What is it within us that comes to fulfillment, to fruition? What is it that comes to completion, that reaches its final goal? How does God's love fill up what is lacking in me? And so I believe that this is what John has in mind, and I'll explain it to you, and then I will show you from these verses why I think this is what he means. John says you start with God's love for us. God's love for us. How does God show his love to us this morning? Well, ultimately in the gospel, it's shown through the cross of Jesus. He sent his only son to die for us. Who loved him? No, we didn't love God. We hated him. We were dead. He sent his son to die for us. That's how God shows to us his love. That is a demonstration of his love. That's where we start. That's the gospel message. We get drawn into that love when we come face to face with the message of the gospel, of God's love for us and what he's done for us, that we can actually be brought back into a relationship with him again. We can become a child of his. Do we deserve that? No, but as we think upon it, think upon the message of the gospel, and as we're in that ocean of God's love that seems to envelop us when we first become saved, what does it do within us? Well, it motivates us, and we love back to God. But it goes further than that. We also react and we say, well, if God can love a sinner such as I, what can I do for the people that are around me? And so we will react. We will be motivated by the love of God. This love accomplishes something in us. This is what brings God's love to completion. God's love does not reach its final goal until it produces a reaction in his children. And so God can love you and you can love God, but if that's where it stops, then you are not experiencing perfect love this morning. That's not accomplishing the love that God wants to have in our lives. That is not God's love this morning. God's love reaches its final goal when we love others with the kind of love that is shown to us by the cross of Jesus. And it's at that point that God's love is perfected. When all three, it's a circuit of love where God has loved us. We experience the gospel message and we love a God who is willing to save us. And that motivates us. We react to that, and it flows out of our lives to other people in love and service to them, because what God has done for us, that is perfect love this morning. And so this morning, I don't think we should rule out any of those three things: God's love for us, our love for God, or our love for other. It's all combined together to make up this perfect love. Perfect love comes to its fullness when all are expressed. This is the full circuit of love. This is perfect love. When we get a glimpse of God and his love for us, we love God back, and out of that flows kindness and compassion and sympathy and forgiveness to other people. That is perfect love. Now, go to chapter 4, and verse 12, John says, "No man hath seen God at any time." Now, that's sort of an interesting thing that seems to be sort of dropped into that verse, but we'll pick that up just a little bit later. He says, "If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." Now, go back up to verse 9. Now, I'm going to like to show to us this circuit of love that makes perfect love this morning. Verse 9, John says, "And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." How is God's love manifested to us this morning? He sent his only begotten Son into the world. Why did he do that? Because he saw the sorry state that we were in, and he loved us, and he sent his Son to save us. His Son came to suffer. He was the man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief, that we might live through him. Verse 10, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us." Who loved first this morning? Well, God. God loved us. No, we didn't love God. He sent his Son to be the propitiation, or to pay the price for our sins. Verse 11, John says, "Beloved." Beloved this morning, think. Think about what God has done for you. That's what John wants us to do. Stop and think. Beloved, if God so loved us, what are we to do? Love one another. If the meditation of God's love this morning ends with me and it produces no further action in my life, I am not a participant of God's love this morning. It stops short. It's not perfect love. God's love will lead you to do something in your life and something in the lives of others. It will produce an action with you. This seems to be the main message in John's letter, is this completed love, this circle of love, this perfect love. And if God's love ends with me, it's not perfect love. And the reason this love is perfect is because it gives us boldness in the day of judgment in verse 17. We'll talk about that later. And so this morning, John doesn't say just sit around until you feel like loving. That's not what he says. He says, contemplate, beloved. Think about what God has done for you. Think about who you were. And then do something. Go love somebody that doesn't deserve your love. Don't sit around until you want the Holy Spirit to come and just move in you. John doesn't say that. He says, think about the gospel. Let that motivate you to go love, to go do what you're supposed to do. And you say, well, it's not easy to love everybody. And not everybody responds to my love like I think they should, but that's not the issue here. That's not the problem. John asks us in verse 11, he says, "Beloved, has God loved you? Do you say, have you experienced God's love?" He says, if you have, we ought also to love one another. And so this morning, if we claim to have received the love of God, there's only one right response that should come from us, and that is to love one another. And you say, well, that brother, every time, he just sort of irritates me. And he always just tests my patience every time. And John is saying, beloved, stop and reflect. Think about who you were. Who were you? Sometimes we forget who we were. We were selfish. And probably still are. We think about ourselves. We're self-absorbed. Some of us have drank sin like it was milk. Beloved, think about who you were. You were on your way to hell. You were on your way to hell. Think about it. We forget so easily who we were. So may that help me to continue to love the person that I find difficult to love. Because I have no other reasonable thing to do but to do that. Verse 10, John tells us that we didn't love God. God loved us. We were dead. What's happening to us isn't because of us. It's because of God. He's the one that started this whole thing. This is God's work. That God should love me, a sinner such as I, like how wonderful is love like this we sing. And amazing love, how can it be? How can it be? And so this morning, beloved, ought we not to love like he loved? Ought we not to forgive like Jesus forgave? Isn't that the reasonable thing for us to do? Now verse 12, he says, no man has seen God at any time. Why does John put that in there? None of us see God. John says he has never seen God. We can't see God. None of us have seen God. We can't see God. John is saying, how can I know this God who I have never seen? And he says it's by the love that we see being acted out, lived out among the people of God. That's how we can get a glimpse of who this God is, the God that we have never seen. God is seen by the love shown among his children. God's ultimate goal through Jesus is to make a people for himself, zealous of good works, of righteousness, who are like him, who strive to be like him in their love. Jesus says, you will know who are my disciples by what? By the love that they have one for another. That's the true test. And so this morning, John says, we cannot see God. We won't see God, but will we see God here this morning in our midst by the love that's expressed in this congregation, brother to brother and sister to sister? Could somebody get a glimpse of God this morning by the love that comes from your heart, from your mouth, from your hands? All right, so going over to verse 17, we also have love being made perfect. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And so we take that into context again, and we jump back to verse 14. And I'm just showing you again from these verses the circuit of love. It's repetition, but I want you to see it again because it's here. I find it very impressive. This isn't by chance. Verse 14 says, and we have seen and to testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And so here we have that first thing of love being showed to us again this morning. Is what? God sending his Son into the world to save us, to be the Savior of the world. Verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love of God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And so here we have the expression of our love back to God. We say, if God can love us, and he wants to save us, I want to love God. I want to love God. God dwells within me. God is love. And then verse 17 says, the last phrase in that verse, he says, so are we in this world. And there we have it. We have God's love for us. Our love flows back to God. And John says, How are you going to live because of this? You're going to live like Jesus lived in this world. That's how you will live. This is the definition of perfect love this morning. This is God's love being brought to its complete fullness, is those three things combined. Now, what do we gain by this perfect love? What is there to be gained by this love? Well, it's found in verse 17, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. And you say, well, what's that? What is that to gain? I don't know how many of you have thought about Judgment Day. How many of you think about Judgment Day? That someday that you and I, we will stand before God to be judged. Judgment Day is a sober reality that we all must face. Death is final. Once you die, nothing changes. Your eternal state is forever fixed. This is the testing ground this morning. There's no second chance. It's appointed unto men once to die, and then what? After that, the judgment. There's a judgment that follows death. I will not be able to hide. You won't be able to hide. Everything will be exposed. God knows everything. He knows every idle word that we speak. He says everything will be shouted from the housetops. It's all going to be exposed. There's nothing to be hid on that day. We all must give an account to Christ. Judgment Day is real. It will happen. It will. Bible says so. It's a day that God will set everything straight. We'll be judged by the amount of light that we have had in this world. How much light do you have this morning? We have a lot of light. I have a lot of light. Jesus says that only a few are going to find the way to life. Am I among the few? Have you ever come face to face with Judgment Day? To be worried about it, or maybe even terrified about it. Have we faced the reality of Judgment Day for us, for you, and for me? That's a question that we need to answer. John says in this verse, he says that perfect love casts out fear, and he says we may have boldness in the day of judgment. John wants us to look at the terrifying thought of standing before God, and he wants us to have boldness and confidence. Such a confidence, such a boldness that it casts out fear of this day. How many of you are slightly fearful of standing before God this morning? I have a little bit of fear of that. But John is saying, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. The only way that we can have confidence in the day of judgment is if perfect love is being experienced in our lives. Are you experiencing perfect love? Those three aspects of love, are they evident in your life? And John says, if they're evident in your life, that circuit of love, he says, you can have boldness. In the day of judgment, you are in a state to survive that day. You won't be caught up short on that day. Because God's love has reached its perfection in you. It has been brought to its accomplished end, to its final goal. So don't take anything away from God's love. God's love for me, my love for God, or my love for other people. Are those three things in my life? John says, if they are, he says, that can give you confidence to face judgment day. And so this morning, don't soothe yourself, don't soothe your conscience that, and you tell yourself, well, that you love Jesus and you're saved. When there's a brother or a sister or somebody in your life that just irritates you constantly and you just can't get along with them. Or maybe there's somebody that you just can't forgive. Don't soothe your conscience. You're not ready for judgment day. You should be fearful of judgment day because love has not been brought to its full completion within your life. You're not a participant of God's love. In chapter 3, verse 14, John says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. If there's no love being produced out of your life this morning, you are not experiencing perfect love that John talks about here. And you should be worried about judgment day. Your conscience should bother you because you don't know what perfect love is. You haven't experienced it. Perfect love will cast out fear of judgment day. And so the tremendous reality that John is wanting us to see this morning is he's saying to us this morning, beloved, you can have boldness in the day of judgment. You don't have to fear judgment day because perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. There's no fear in love. Fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. In verse 18 of chapter 3, John says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. So look out over your life this morning. I'm looking out over my life. What do you see in your life this morning? Do you see that circle of love in your life? Perfect love casts out fear because the conscience doesn't feel threatened of punishment when you feel God's love for you and you see it working out in your life. That kind of love takes away the fear of judgment day. It can assure our consciences that we're ready for judgment day. And so I ask myself, how is God's love working out in my life with my wife and my family and with my brothers and sisters right here on these benches and with the people that I work with? How's that looking in my life? Can I have assurance that I'll survive judgment day, or should I be fearful of judgment day by what I see in my life? And so, as verse 18 says, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. If it's just talk this morning, if it's just words that come out of your mouth, but there's no action to back it up, that should destroy your assurance of being ready to face judgment day. He says, neither let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And so, just talking should disrupt our confidence for judgment day. The other thing that can happen sometimes is when we focus on what we do, and that's where our focus is, and I look at my love for my wife, and I look at my love for my children, and for you, and for the people I work with, and I look in the mirror, and I see it falling short. And you can start questioning yourself, well, did I love enough? Did I love enough? Did I do enough? Am I going to be okay? And your conscience can find, it can become uneasy. It can become turbulent. There's a ditch on both sides. So that's one ditch we can fall into, is where our focus is just on what's coming out of our lives, and we see it doesn't quite line up. And we think, well, have I done enough? The other ditch we can fall into is we can look at what God has done for me, and I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, I'm not like other men. And we just bask in God's love for us, and that's all the farther it goes. And we love talking about the love of God, but there's people in our life that we really just can't get along with very well. We talk evilly about them, but our talk is good. And so we can focus on what we say, and we can focus on what we do, and both can lead us into error. But this is what can bring peace to a conscience, to our conscience, is when you look out on your life and you see what God has done for you. You look at that and you contemplate that. And it makes you react in love for other people. Love for your brothers, love for your sisters, love for the people you work with. No, not perfectly. Not perfectly. But you can see love, you can see compassion, you can see sympathy and kindness in your life. That will give you assurance and boldness in the day of judgment. So this morning, how does my life look? How does your life look? Do you have confidence for the day of judgment? Perfect love will give you confidence for the day of judgment. This is biblical love this morning. This is God's love brought to completion this morning. This is not selfish, carnal, worldly, lustful love. But this is the pure love of God that flows out of the lives of His children. Those whom He has bought with a price and were called upon. It's our only reasonable service to give our lives back to God and to lay them down for other people about us. And as we faithfully do that, our love will be made perfect and we can have boldness in the day of judgment. May God help us continue to grow in perfect love, and may it continue to be expressed here in our homes and in this church, so we can catch glimpses of a God who we have never seen. We hope to see someday soon, but can we see Him while we're here? God help us to be faithful. Let's kneel for prayer.